Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 18th chapter, Perek Yud Ches of Sefer Shmuel Beis. This is a very bitter and sweet Perek. This is the downfall of Avshalom that we're going to be experiencing and learning today. So what happens is, as we know, Avshalom has taken the misguided advice of Hushai HaErki to wait to fight David. David, in the meantime, has escaped to Transjordan, and now the battle ensues. The battle actually takes place on the west bank of the Jordan near the woods of Ephraim. So this is on the west bank of the Jordan River, and as they're getting ready for war, David HaMelech sends out all his officers, all his warriors, and he divides them into three groups. One group is under the general Yoav, one is under Avishai and his brother, and the third one is under Ittai HaGitzi, who was one of these people who came with David, as we saw, to Prok him back. And David himself actually wanted to come in this battle, so he really volunteered to come out and fight with them, and they all declined, and they said, David, you shouldn't come, because you know what's going to happen, is you're worth more than 10,000 men, meaning you'd say you're the prize of this battle. If they see that one of us has you, then they will specifically target us. Don't come to battle. And David HaMelech actually acquiesces. As they're leaving, David HaMelech makes a request, a very strange request, and he says the following. As they're trooping out past the gate, David HaMelech passes them, and he says to Yoav, Avishai, and Ittai, he says, La'at li lana'ar Avshalom. Have mercy, go slowly on my son Avshalom. And everybody heard that he commanded them that. He doesn't want Avshalom to die. Ironically, he does not want his son to be killed. Okay, so in the meantime, the battle goes on, this is David's troops versus the troops of Israel, and David's troops really conquer the troops of Israel, and interestingly enough, the Tanakh tells us that Vayirev Banachol Le'echol Ba'om, that Avshalom's troops, the troops of Israel, are scattered in the forest, which the Metzudas David tells us that he actually, they were starting to be consumed by the wild animals of the forest as they were fleeing, because they had nowhere else to go but except the wildest of territories. And while this is happening, Avshalom is separated from all of the rest of his men. He's riding on a pered, which is some sort of mule, and he's passing by this large tree, and because he has long hair, his hair gets caught in the branches of this tree, and this mule runs from underneath him. So there he is hanging, and somebody notices him. One of the soldiers of Yoav says, "I saw Avshalom hanging in the tree," and Yoav says to him, "Well, why didn't you kill him? I would have given you, ample reward for having killed him." And the soldier says, "How could I? You heard, everybody heard that David HaMelech says, 'Don't kill him in front of you.'" Yoav disregards this. So I'm not talking to you anymore, I'm not asking you of anything more. And Yoav takes three spears and rams them through the heart of Avshalom into the tree. He's still not dead fully yet. And Yoav tells his young soldiers to kill Avshalom. And they kill him. They take Avshalom off the tree. They bury him under a large heap of stones. And Tanakh tells us, incidentally, that Avshalom himself actually had arranged for a burial plot in Emek HaMelech, in the Valley of the King, which is what we call today Har HaZesim. Because he wanted to be remembered. And so he had a place which he called Yad Avshalom, which is where he wanted to be buried, but ultimately was not buried. I will send out a picture, Be'ezras Hashem, just to see what Yad Avshalom looks like today. It's very easy to access. It's just the very bottom of Har HaZesim. The story goes that on the top of that Yad Avshalom was a carved fist, a fist of stone to represent the rebellion. When Napoleon Bonaparte came and visited in the land of Palestine, or what was called Palestine at the time, because the Roman name, he was so shocked by this biblical account of a son rebelling against his father, that he took his sword and hit the hand off the top, which is why if you look at Yad Avshalom today, it actually it is missing the top spire of where the hand used to be. Not clear if that was a true story or not, but nonetheless, just gives a little bit of interesting perspective to this whole thing going on. In the meantime, what happens after this is Achimatz, who remember was one of the messengers who brought David the secret message about the Hushai's devious plan. So Achimatz, the son of Tzadok the Kohen, says, "I want to go give David the message. I want to tell David HaMelech what happened, that Hashem judged his enemies." And Yoav says, "You're not the right person. Now's not the right time to do this. The king's son has died. We're not going to do this." So Yoav then turns to Cushi. Cushi seems to be some dark-skinned individual, whether he's Jewish or not, the Mepharshim debate. And he says to him, "Go tell the king. Go tell the king." And so off he goes. And Achimatz is still very anxious. He really says, "Yoav, please let me just go tell him." And Yoav says, "Well, he's already left." So he says, no, don't worry. I can go." So Achimatz runs, and he runs faster. He runs through the valley, overtaking this Cushi, And in the meantime, what happens is from the tower of the watchtower where David is staying, he sees two people. The first person running, Achimatz, and David Melech recognizes from his gait, from his run, that this is Achimatz, and he says, "This must be a good besara. This must be a good tiding." And he sees the Cushi, so he wonders what's going on. Meantime, Achimatz arrives, and the king says, "Shalom." He says, "How is everything?" And Achimatz responds, "Baruch Hashem Elokecha asher sigar es anoshim asher noso es yodom ba'adoni ha-melech." Hashem has killed. Hashem has closed his hand around the enemies of the king. The king says, "What about the Na'ar? What about the Avshalom?" And Achimatz says, "Well, I couldn't really see. I didn't know Yoav. It was busy." And in the meantime, this gentleman, the Cushi, enters. And tells the king, "Hashem judged you, and or from all those who came against you." And the king says to what about the Avshalom? And the Cushi says, "Yehi chanar oivei Adoni HaMelech." The lad Avshalom is like all the enemies of the king who he just said were killed. And that's the end of the perek. It's a cliffhanger because you don't have David's response at the end of this perek. We're going to see his terrible, terrible response, God willing, next in the next segment. A few things to think about in this perek. Number one. Why was it that David HaMelech did not want to kill Avshalom? Meaning, in the end of the day, Avshalom was ultimately the reason of this rebellion. He's the person who had raped his wives. He's the person who chased David HaMelech from Yerushalayim. He knows that the rebellion is centered around him. Why would he not kill him? So Malbim says, well, because let's not underestimate. He's still his son. Don't underestimate the fatherly feelings that he feels towards him. Moreover, theologically, he feels that the reason why Avshalom was fighting against him was not because Avshalom was a bad person. It was because Avshalom, in a certain sense, was the tool or the vehicle of Nathan and Avi's prophecy, which was the punishment for his actions with Bathsheba. And David HaMelech feels that now that his punishment has come to an end, he feels that Avshalom should not be punished for it. It's very interesting. Again, this is David's philosophy when it came to Shaul HaMelech as well. He does not want to be the tool in the hands of God. He believes that over here, Avshalom was the tool in the hands of God, and therefore is not culpable for his actions. And another couple of things just to think about in this is the symbolism of Avshalom's end. Here you have Avshalom hanging from this tree. Rashi quotes a Chazal that says in the Gemara in Sota Daf Yudam Abayz, which says as Avshalom pulls out his sword to cut his hair to release himself, he saw Gehenim open underneath him. He saw the netherworld open underneath him. That's a phrase which was used by Yitzhak Avinu when he realized he blessed the wrong son, when he realized that his whole life had been undone. This was a moment where Avshalom realized that he was not doing God's bidding over here. His whole life unraveled underneath him. Symbolically, I think it's also interesting that over here it's his hair which catches him. Remember, his hair was that element of beauty we saw a few prokem back, where that was maybe even, as the Radak says, one of the reasons why he thought he was more eligible for Malchus than his rest of his brethren. And it's that is which itself snares him. The Chida points out, and just an additional point over here, which is that he was riding the pered, he was riding the mule of the king that only the king could ride. And what happens is that mule leaves from underneath him. Symbolically, that means to say that the kingship has left him at this point in time. How could Yoav do this? How could Yoav disobey the king? Meaning, he knew explicitly the king didn't want this. Yoav over here was so devout, so clearly on David's side, that Yoav did things which he felt that David HaMelech needed, even though David HaMelech did not command. And it's clear, as the Ralbag points out, that as soon as he kills Avshalom, he desists the troop advancement on David's side to kill the rest of Israel. Because remember, Yoav realizes a very simple thing, and that is, you know, I once heard a statistic that the most American soldiers who ever fell in any war of America were those who fell in the Civil War. That's very simple, because Americans were killing Americans. Yoav realizes this is brothers killing brothers. Yoav needs to stop this at all costs. Whether or not he's ignoring the king, he has to stop this. And therefore, he blows the shofar at the end of this whole thing to call back his troops. He needs to kill Avshalom to stop the killing of Jews. That's what he needs to do. And that overrides any of his sensitivities to the king. David HaMelech is not going to view this with favor later on, as we'll see this. Why was Achimatz rejected from this whole messenger job? Why did Yoav want to send this you know, regular soldier doesn't even really have a name? So it's interesting that the Mitzvah David points out, very simple, is he knows this is such a painful thing for David. He doesn't want to go send a besora, an official announcement, because an official announcement means good news. And it's not good news for David. So what does he do? He sends a circumstantial messenger, somebody who he tells, don't run, but just say, I was in battle and this is what I saw. In this way, it's not going to be broken to David as if this was good news. It is broken as this is what happened. Achimatz cannot hold that back, which is why Achimatz needs to tell the good news, but he can't tell the bad news, which is why he runs ahead in the meantime and does this. In the meantime, this leaves us at a very precipice, really. What is David going to do? How is he going to react? On the one hand, he's safe. On the other hand, his son has just been murdered. In the meantime, with this, we think and hopefully go move on to the next stage in David HaMelech's life. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.